Governor Andrew Cuomo wants to expand early voting and no-excuse absentee voting, and he wants those ballots counted early. He just doesn't have the money to pay for it.
We need more qualified employees, and we need more resources to be able to do that, because the qualified employees who would be checking signatures and scanning ballots right now are deployed to early voting places, ensuring that process goes well. And our folks can't be in two places at once.
Nick LaLoda, Suffolk Republican Board of Elections Commissioner, said what Cuomo pushed in his State of the State address would be given an A grade if there was a way to pay for it. Cuomo said he wanted to make permanent the changes put in place for the coronavirus.
2020 was the first presidential election that New Yorkers were able to vote early, and 2.5 million did. Some of what Cuomo wants requires changes to the state constitution. The state allowed for New Yorkers to use coronavirus as a blanket excuse in 2020 to allow millions of voters to cast a ballot by mail. But LaLoda says the state does not have the election infrastructure in place to make this happen without frequent irregularities. This is C19, WSHU's daily news update from the Connecticut, New York region.
Coming up, can Connecticut balance its next budget without raising taxes on residents, plus prison reform in the state and on Long Island, the future of policing? I'm Charles Lane.
And I'm Sabrina Garone.
Connecticut Governor Ned Lamont and state lawmakers would have enough revenue to balance the state's next budget without raising taxes. Here's WSHU's Ebong Udama with the state's latest revenue projections.
The governor's budget office and the legislature's nonpartisan Office of Fiscal Analysis project that Connecticut revenues will increase by nearly $1.7 billion in the next 2 years. That's enough to wipe out this fiscal year's budget deficit and put a dent on the deficits projected for the next two fiscal years. Democratic Senate President Martin Looney says the boost comes from returns from windfall earnings on Wall Street, even though they're not a very reliable source of income.
Consensus revenue figure that really counts is going to be the one that comes out in April, when we're actually working on trying to get a budget done. That is the one where the numbers will be critical to show whether they continue the trends or whether some other trends are operating by then.
Republican Senate Minority Leader Kevin Kelly also calls for caution. He says many small businesses in the state have shut their doors. Unemployment remains high, and Connecticut still has projected deficits in future years. The governor is expected to present his next two-year state budget plan next month. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
Lawmakers and advocates in Connecticut want to close the state's only supermax prison so money can be put towards social programs. WSHU's Davis Donovan reports.
Northern Correctional Institution has been criticized for its use of solitary confinement, including by a UN torture expert. The prison served as an isolation unit for inmates with COVID-19 from March to September of last year. Around 81 people are incarcerated at Northern. State Senator Gary Winfield of New Haven is the co-chair of the State Judiciary Committee.
If we have chosen to create a system in which we break people, when those people come back out of the system, we should be doing something about the fact that those are the choices we've made, and never make those choices again.
Northern costs the state about $19 million a year to operate. Advocates say they'd like to see that money go to programs and services that support the health, shelter, and societal reentry of formerly incarcerated people. Davis Donovan, WSHU News.
Coming up, with multiple plans for reform on the table, what does the future of policing look like in Nassau County? But first, headlines and a message from C19's supporter.
Support for C19 comes from Hartford HealthCare. More COVID vaccine answers at hartfordhealthcare.org/vaccine or 833-621-0600.
The 7-day COVID-19 positivity rate in Connecticut dropped to 5.3%. On Long Island, the 7-day positivity rate dipped to 7.7%. The rest of New York is down to 6.4%. Long Island has administered 80% of its initial shipments of the first and second doses of the vaccine. Long Island has received just over 102,000 doses, more than the rest of the state outside of New York City.
Students in New Haven, Connecticut have returned to in-person schooling this week for the first time since last March. Parents and a coalition of teachers' unions say the city's school district is not ready, and they want all school staff to receive the COVID-19 vaccine before returning to the classroom.
Authorities say a retired New York City firefighter was among the mob that stormed the U.S. Capitol on January 6th. Thomas Fee of Freeport will face charges in Washington of disorderly conduct and entering a restricted building without permission. Prosecutors say Fee sent selfies from the Capitol during the insurrection and described himself as part of the tip of the spear.
Advocates and lawmakers in Bridgeport, Connecticut want the state to ban the sale of flavored tobacco products. There's concern that young people in other states will drive to Connecticut for the flavored tobacco. A recent survey found that over 3.5 million youths are still using e-cigarettes. Over 80% of youth who started using tobacco began with flavored products.
Police reform advocates in Nassau County are drafting their own reform plan to present to lawmakers. This comes after most of them resigned in protest from reform groups set up by the county. The two plans offer very different visions of what policing should be like in the county.
Police reformers quit the county's task force when Nassau police unveiled their own plan to reform themselves. Reformers called it a fraud and said they felt betrayed. By then, they had already started on what they call the People's Plan. They hope to unveil it sometime in the next month. But the basic idea is to reduce police presence, not tweak it around the edges.
Hyper-policing in communities of color does not work in deterring crime. And so we here suggest that this needs to be readdressed and reappropriated.
Elmer Flores is a member of Ally United to Transform Policing and Community Safety. He and other police reform advocates went to social media to offer their own synopsis of the reform plan put forward by police earlier this month. The general theme of their critique is that there should be fewer police, not more.
We really believe, again, in the reinvesting the financial resources required to building community trust into community partner agencies that direly need the resources and exploring other avenues of building trust that do not involve in being in every corner of the community.
Or, in other words, defund the police. Susan Goddard is with Ally United. She says the fundamental flaw of the commissioner's plan is that it addresses crime, not the root causes of crime.
Such as poverty, social disadvantage, parenting practices, and school performance. In contrast, crime scientists are concerned with near crime causes. What this does is it blocks out the possibility of redistribution of other resources to that other way of thinking.
Reform advocates did support some of the commissioner's reform suggestion. For example, the push for better data collection and diverting mental health calls away from police and towards mental health experts. But overall, they say, the commissioner's plan does not fulfill New York Governor Andrew Cuomo's executive order to seriously consider change. Terrell Dozer with Ally United says advocates did meet with the state and asked for a moderator to step in.
New York State declined to provide an independent convener. And because they did have like the pact set up, they were doing those Facebook Live listening sessions. They didn't move forward with engaging an independent convener.
Cuomo's office declined to answer questions and instead offered a statement that read, quote, "Remember, every jurisdiction's reform plan must be ratified by their local legislature, which ensures all community members can make their voices heard and have a seat at the table." This means the Nassau County Legislature will soon be asked to consider two very different styles of policing. All 11 lawmakers in the majority caucus and the police commissioner did not respond to requests for comment. Minority Leader and Democrat Gavon Abrams did respond. He said the legislature is likely to consider both the commissioner's plan and the people's plan,
which represents a large segment of the communities of color. And from that standpoint, we're going to incorporate their concepts as long as we can get agreement within our caucus. We're going to present those concepts as part of amendments to the overall plan.
What's likely to be a big part of the People's Plan is civilian oversight of the police, what's often called a Civilian Complaint Review Board, or CCRB. Abrams doesn't think that's likely to be approved because Police Commissioner Ryder doesn't support it.
I truly believe transparency could be achieved in many different ways, and building consensus around what that would look like, I think, is an easier process than trying to achieve a CCRB if it's not going to be attainable through the legislature and from the commissioner.
Ultimately, whatever the lawmakers approve in terms of police reform will be up to the Republicans in the majority. Those advocating for police change say that they have met with the majority leader of the legislature, Richard Nicorello. They said that they thought the meeting went well. For the latest news from Long Island and Connecticut, you can listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org. C19 is supported by Hartford HealthCare.
Thanks for listening. WSHU depends on listeners to give us news tips and share our stories. You can also help us by becoming a member.
I'm Charles Lane.
And I'm Sabrina Garone. We'll be back tomorrow.